I cannot say God is good because there's nothing good about my life. Maybe you are one of those people this morning. It's not just non-believers who are going through tough times. It's you and I. It's people who look like you. It's people who believe like you. It's born-again, heaven-going, demon-kicking believers who are going through tough times. Now, the big question is this. How should a believer deal with tough times? How do I respond to things that are contrary to Scripture? Because so many times we can look at our lives and you say, this does not look like the Bible that I know. This doesn't look like the Scriptures that I know of. We're talking about sickness, poverty of spirit, poverty of the body, addictions, rejections, and things like that. And I want you to know, unless you understand how to steward or how to look after salvation, you will live a miserable life. The reason why I'm saying you will live a miserable life, it is because in this world, you and I will experience trouble. We just need to know how to deal with trouble knocks on our doors. Because when the presence of trouble doesn't signify the absence of God. Come on now, am I talking to somebody this morning? The presence of trouble doesn't signify the absence of God. Psalms 23, David says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. So this morning, I want to talk to us on the subject matter, walking in God's best for your life. Walking in God's best for your life. The desire of God is for you and I to walk in His best. But what I've realized is the way I define my best is not necessarily the way God defines His best for you. It doesn't sound very positive, right? But what I know, the Bible says all things work together for the good of those that love God, who are called according to His purposes. The desire of God is for you and I to live our best life here on earth. Do you know what determines the best life for you? It's when you walk through what God has determined for you before the heavens were created. The only thing that qualifies me to be called good and faithful servant is when I have followed the script. It's when I have walked that path. And I want you to know your path is different from my path. Your journey is different from my journey. I always tell my wife, people are having battles, but battles are different. My battle is different from your battle. My race is different from your race. That is why when you look at somebody, you look at what they're going through, and you say to yourself, Lord, if that would happen to me, I would not survive a day. Praise the Lord, that's why you're not going through what they're going through. Because it does not be custom made for you. So want to understand this morning, how do you and I walk in God's best for our lives? I've got four keys we're going to share together this morning. And my prayer is that your faith will be stirred up this morning. And I want to address the spirit of religion in the name of Jesus. I command it to leave our minds and our hearts right now in Jesus' name. So that you and I can experience what God has prepared for us this morning. How do we walk in God's best for our lives on this Victory Sunday? I don't know why you came to church. Did you come expecting God to do something different today? Or you came saying, well, you know what, I'm a Christian and it's expected of me to be at church. it is possible for you and I to come to that place where we come to church because it's not acceptable for a true believer not to be in church. May the Lord help you today not to be like that believer who is here because, well, if I don't, that man will phone me. I didn't see your church. If you're watching online, God bless you. Thank you for being there. Now, how do we walk in God's best for our lives? Now, in order for you and I to walk in God's best for your life, number one, you need to believe that God is good. It starts there. For you and I to walk in the best that God has determined for us, you and I need to be convinced in the goodness of God. Otherwise, you will not experience His goodness. It sounds very simple, but it's a tripping point for a lot of us today. You need to understand that regardless of your circumstances, God is good. It is the nature of God to be good. It's not a default thing to be evil. No, God is inherently good. And if you are to walk in goodness, in the best that God has for you, you've got to ask yourself, do I actually believe that God is good? You see, Jesus has done the work that paid for your full salvation, for your healing, for your deliverance, when He died on the cross and said, "It is finished." He did it for you, He did it for me, for my good. And He said, "It is finished." Today I draw a line, and this is what Jesus was saying. My people, my children will walk in the goodness of my Father because I have come to pay the price for them. Amen. Let's talk about those called familiar curses, familiar spirits that terrorize our families. I want you to know when Jesus said it is finished, even that thing was included in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you believe it today? You see, the thing about familiar spirits and curses, they are familiar with your family. In other words, they know about your family. They know your ins and outs. And they will look for an opportunity to entrench themselves in the family and in your life. Especially if back in the days, one of our fathers dedicated the family to those demonic activities. That is why they're called familiar. They know how the family does things. They know what the family should expect. And therefore, it will look for an opportunity to bring poverty in your life. That is why the Apostle Peter says, "Be alert, be sober, for the devil, your adversary, is roaring around like a lion, seeking whom he may devour." So if your family has been dedicated to the dark forces and you are born again, you need to understand that you are immune and you are different. Because something has changed in your DNA. Something has changed in your bloodline. Your bloodline is now Jesus' bloodline. Glory be to God. I'm talking about the blood that was accepted in the temple in heaven. Do you believe in the goodness of God? So the new covenant is a better covenant than the old covenant. It is a covenant that enables us to experience the goodness of God at the expense of Jesus Christ. I pray that your faith will be stirred up today. Because I don't know what your journey is. I don't know what you've been going through. But I want you to know that the new covenant enables us to partake of the goodness of God, not at your expense, but at the expense of Jesus. You see, the experience of God's love and favor is designed to be ever increasing from glory to glory. You've got to be able to believe God for the better. You've got to believe God for a higher dimension in the spirit. You've got to believe God for prophetic words over your life, for prophetic dreams over your life. That is the nature of God. What does the Bible say about the goodness of God? Let me just share with you a couple of scriptures. Psalms 34, verse 8. The Bible says, oh, taste, eat, experience, indulge yourself. Yesterday we were there with the family and, you know, having so much food. And I said to Tabu, I feel like today I've overindulged. You know, when you just nibble on things, you eat and eat, not realizing your tummy cannot take it anymore. And this is what I'm talking about. The psalmist says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Blessed are you if you are still convinced that God is good. Blessed are you that you are still convinced that the goodness of God will pursue me all the days of my life. Glory be to God. Put this down. You can face the troubles of life with hope. Why? Because God is inherently good and is willing and able to save. When you go through trouble, knowing very well that God is good and he'll come through for me, you are full of hope. It's like having applied for a new job and you get the job. And in your current company, there are problems. They are having difficulties in paying their people. You have hope in that situation. Why? Because you know I have another job. The same thing applies to us. When you go through sickness, you know there is a promise that says, by his stripes, I am healed. You therefore wait patiently for your healing to manifest. It's different from that person who doesn't know where his help will come from. But when you know that help is on the way, you wait patiently. When you're on a bus stop and you know the bus has left another bus stop, it is coming to my destination, you wait patiently because the bus is on its way. Glory be to God. When you go through trouble in your life, you wait patiently because you know God is able. If you don't believe in his goodness, you will wilt. You will not survive trouble. You'll be like the non-believer who has no hope. And therefore, this morning, I want to ask you this question. Do you believe in the goodness of God? Psalms 100, verse 3. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. So you are not self-made. There is a creator. There is a maker of heaven and earth who made you in his likeness. Who made you in the way that he wants you to look. Glory be to God. So you look like God. And therefore when God looks at you, he sees himself. And that is what Jesus came to redeem. He came to redeem the image of God that had been marred by sin. And therefore, when you are a born-again child of God, when God looks at you, he sees his image. So, we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. Why? For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endures to all generations. For the Lord is good. Somebody needs to remind themselves early in the morning before you go on Facebook to say, the Lord is good and his mercies endures forever. For the Lord is good and his mercies endures forever. If you believe it with your heart, you will see the goodness of the Lord. I'm talking about how to walk in God's best for your life. Your expectations will be met. What do you expect God to do for you in your time of trouble, in your time of need? The Lord is good. God wants to give you good things that satisfy. Can you even allow that thought to come into your mind? to say, the Lord actually wants to give me good things that satisfy. Psalms 103, verse 5. The Lord who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord who wants to fill your mouth, who wants to satisfy your mouth with good things. I wish somebody can have their minds renewed right now to go back to that place like a baby where you trust again that the Lord wants to fill this mouth with things that satisfy, with good things. I'm telling you, if you fail to cross that line, you'll always live in a wishful land. The Lord is looking for a people that actually believe Him, that He is able, that the Lord is good, who satisfies your mouth with good things. Let's continue talking about the goodness of God. My prayer is that your faith will be stirred up right now. I'm not underestimating the pain you're going through, the disappointment you're going through, but what are your options? What is my option in times of trouble? Matthew 7, verse 11. For you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. I mean, parents will do anything for their children. If you don't have a child, you might not understand that dimension of sacrifice. But one day, if you have a child, you will understand that parents will do whatever it takes to give good gifts to their children. And remember, we are fallen. In other words, there is nothing good about a man outside of God. And we are not, you know, this is the thing. Man is inherently evil by nature. No, there's nothing good in man. You know, the humanistic worldview wants you to believe that men are good generally. No, man is not good. That is why even in secular nations, we still have laws and regulations to regulate the evil that is in a man. But now here, God is saying, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts, good things to those who ask Him? How much more your Father in heaven? You need to be convinced that there is a Father in heaven. You know, I'm not just talking about God. I'm talking about God the Father. And there is a Father in heaven who says, I know how to give you good gifts. James 1 verse 17. I'm going to wash you with the word this morning. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. I can come here and try and entice you and motivate you, but in the absence of the word, faith will not be stirred up. Now, James chapter 1 verse 17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Good gifts, perfect gift. You've got to believe God for perfect gifts. You've got to believe God for good gifts. It's in His nature to give you such things. Psalms 84, verse 11. Hear the word of the Lord this morning. And as I speak to you, speak to your soul. Speak to your spirit man. And say, submit yourself to the word of God. One of the things I've realized is that a lot of people miss God because they're just too strong to submit to God. If God cannot change your mind, there's no hope for you. I'm sorry to say. Don't be too strong for God. No, don't do that. Psalms 84, verse 11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. Grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from those who walk uprightly. No good thing. Is ability to pay your rent a good thing? Yes, it is. Is ability to have a happy marriage a good thing? Yes, it is. Is ability for peace in your relationships a good thing? Yes, it is. And the Lord says, no good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. So as far as heaven is concerned, it's settled. The question is, do I qualify? Hallelujah. He says, for those who walk uprightly, for those who submit themselves under his authority, for those who say, here I am, Lord, do what you want to do in my life. Glory be to God. No good thing. Number two, the second point. For you to experience God's best for your life, you need to have a revelation that you qualify to benefit from the goodness of God. Am I talking to somebody this morning? You've got to be convinced that you qualify to benefit from the goodness of God. Do you know why I'm saying this? After you've been through a difficult season in your life, it is possible to start thinking that you don't qualify for God's goodness. After you've not had enough money in your bank account, it is possible to start disqualifying yourself from God's goodness. I remember a season in our lives where the month was longer than the salary. You know what I mean? The month was longer than what was coming. And by the time you get to the end of the month, you go dig into certain places in order to meet the needs. And when that season has persisted for a long time, it is possible for you to come to a place of saying, it's not for me. And right now as I speak to you, may the Lord help you to open up your spirit man and say, it is still for me. It is still for me. I believe that God will come through for me. Glory be to God. So we often think that all these wonderful things about God are for others and not for us. You qualify to benefit from the goodness of God. Because in God there is no partiality. In God, there is no partiality. He's not going to look at us and say, this one I don't like, that one I'll bless. That. No, God is a good God. He wants to do you good. So it is important that you accept the following truths. Let me give you a couple of truths around this issue of you qualifying to benefit from the goodness of God. The first one is, you need to know and to believe that you have been adopted by Father God. You've been adopted by Father God. I'm teaching you principles, saints, that you can take and go home, live over, believe, meditate on, and you'll see results. Yes, we're going to pray for one another, but I'm going to give you tools in your hands that you go in your bedroom and you look at this concept that says, I've been adopted. What does it mean to be adopted? You need to realize that an adopted child has the same rights as the child born in the family. An adopted child does not play second fiddle to the one born in the family. An adopted child takes on the name of the family. An adopted child is able to say, Father, I am hungry, and he has a right to make that cry. Glory be to God. Our problem is we have adopted children who still live like cousins in the house. You are not a cousin in the house. You are a child of God. Glory be to God. So it is important for you to start thinking like a child of God and start behaving like a child of God. Romans 8 verse 15. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. You see, an adopted child is coming from a place where it's difficult. Sometimes, you know, we are children are adopted because maybe their parents abandoned them. Maybe their parents did not want them, you know, or their parents died. And for a season, they would have experienced a tough life. And the family takes them in and say, "You are one of us." If that child does not receive the love of the father, that child remains abandoned even though they are in a family. Ooh. Does somebody hear me this morning? We call it an orphan spirit. You've been adopted by Father God, but you still don't see yourself as a child. And therefore, the way you pray is hindered. Your expectations are hindered. When my child comes to me and says, "Dad, can you please come and watch me play soccer?" He's got one expectation for me to say, "Yes." You know what I mean? No matter how busy I am, if I'm a good dad, I must just leave everything and go watch my son playing soccer. Why? He's got one dad. He might have multiple uncles, but one father. And that is the attitude we need to have when we come before God. We mustn't expect less. We must expect what a father does. And he says, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come." He is your father. So, but you receive the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, "Abba, Father." That's an intimate term. Papa, Father. I don't know how you used to call your dad. Whatever it is, that is the emotion it evokes in somebody. That is why fathers, we have a great deal of responsibility to make sure that our children have the right image of father so that they are able to say, "Abba, Father," and the right emotion is evoked in them, an emotion of love, of expectation, of security, of joy, of love. Why? They have experienced it before. And I say to you, if you haven't experienced it, I pray that a redemptive work would take place for you to be able to say, "Papa." Amen. When you speak to God. God is able to do that. Number two, you need to have this revelation. God identifies with you, and you can experience him personally. God identifies with you. You're not alone. The tears that you've shed as a man, God knows about them. You know, it's easy to talk about tears for ladies, but men do shed tears by ourselves, kicking and screaming. God knows that. God is sensitive to that. God is moved by that. God cannot leave you in that space forever. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 4:15, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." Tried, tested, tempted, rejected, accused. The Lord went through that. They accused him of even having a relationship with other women. I'm sure they must have said, like, "Can you see how she was rubbing his feet with her hair? Can you see how something dodgy about this rabbi?" Accuse him. Are you being accused right now? Your Father in heaven knows the feeling. He knows the pain. Are you being rejected right now? Jesus knows the pain of rejection. His own cousin, his own friend betrayed him with a kiss. And yet he said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." The ones who were singing, "Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna," as he was going into Jerusalem. A few days down the road, "Crucify him, crucify him, give us Barabbas. We don't want that man." They were the same people who were saying, "Hosanna, Hosanna," putting palm leaves on that donkey to walk on. And then a few days down the road, "Crucify him. Crucify him." Have you been rejected? Christ bears with you. You are able to cry to him. and is able to embrace you and to bring healing to your wounds. Why? Because he's been wounded for our transgression. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Glory be to God. That's the Jesus I fell in love with. That's the Jesus who died for you. That is the Jesus you said yes to. That is the Jesus who understands your pain this morning. He understands your poverty. Philippians 2, the Bible says he was disrobed of his heavenly glory. That is the worst level of poverty. To be separated from the glory that he had in heaven. And the Bible says he did not see it as robbery. When the God had decided with him, you're going down, he did not see it as robbery, as something to fight for. He said, for the sake of these ones, I will go. And he came down. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Are you brokenhearted? He comes not in a general way, but he manifests himself in a gracious way. He pours his oil. He pours his love over you. He binds your brokenness. He heals you. That's the nature of God. The Lord your God is in your midst, the mighty one. In Zephaniah chapter 3. The mighty one is in our midst. And he will save. He rejoices over you. He dances around you. He celebrates around you. If people don't celebrate you, Father God celebrates you. Amen. He dances around you. He gives you personal attention. Amen. You know how it is when we're in church? Some people get special attention. Some don't. Somebody comes and they shake. Back in the days when we used to shake our hands, they shake your hand and they took it to somebody else. But why are you shaking my hand? But when you come before God, he gives you personalized attention. He listens. Let's look at number 3. For you to experience God's goodness, you've got to keep the faith. Does somebody hear me this morning? If I am to experience God's goodness in my life, it cannot happen outside of faith. And you know what? The moment things happen in your life, the first place the enemy will hit is your faith. The first area to be shaken is your ability to believe in the goodness of God. It's for you to, to stop confessing the goodness of God. But this morning I want you to realize that faith is agreeing with God's word through your confession and a lifestyle of obedience. That is what faith is. It is being in obedience to the word of God. It's confession. Hebrews 11:6, for we all know this scripture. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. And I'm saying to you this morning, keep the faith. Keep believing. There is no other option outside of this thing called faith. Because when you have faith, brothers and sisters are able to come around you, to rally around you, to encourage you, and to tell you, tomorrow is going to be a better day. That can only happen when there's still faith. In Isaiah, the Bible says, if you lose your faith, you cannot stand. And that is what the enemy is trying to dislodge us, to believe God. Many people have forsaken the faith. Many people have left the gathering of brothers. Why? Discouraged. They're asking themselves, I've been on this road for a long time. I cannot do this. And whenever I speak to people in that state, maybe for a lack of words of encouragement, I ask, what are the options? What is option B? And I pray for you that your faith would hold in the time of testing. Your faith would hold in Jesus' name. The Lord Jesus was talking to Peter. And he says, Peter, the devil appeared to me and asked me. The devil wants to sift you. And the Lord Jesus said, but I prayed for you. I prayed for you that you would stand. I prayed for you that you would stand. And after you've been battered, you would come back and encourage your brothers. The Lord Jesus was seeing the storm that was coming in the life of Peter. And said, the devil has asked to sift you, and I prayed for you. In other words, the shaking was going to happen. But Peter was going to hold on because Jesus prayed for him. That's why we need to pray for one another. It is my commitment to pray for each and every one of you that you would stand. Because I believe in my moments of hardship, it was not only my prayers that sustained me. It was her prayers that sustained me. It was his prayers that sustained me. Do we pray for one another? Do we fast? Not just for ourselves, but for another. You know he's going through a tough time. And you say, Lord, on Tuesday, I'm not fasting for myself, but I'm fasting for Tabo. I'm praying for his well-being. May he stand. Ooh. You'll be surprised by the crown that some of you will get. We might not see you singing here every Sunday morning, but you're fighting battles in the backyard. You're praying for your pastor. You see the guy preaching there, you think he's so powerful. No, it is because there is a sister, there is a brother in the church who is praying for that man to remain sound. Amen. Does somebody hear me this morning? Amen. Keep the faith. Stay resolute. Die in the Lord. Amen. This is my encouragement for you. Whatever you're going through, if you are to die, die in the Lord. Amen. Die with your faith. Yes. Hold on to the truth. Amen. Never give up. Hallelujah. Amen. David says, I was once young, but now I'm old. I've never seen the son of the righteous forsaken or begging for bread. Remain in the Lord. He is faithful. For the one who promised is faithful. Amen. It might take 1 year. It might take 10 years. It might take 25 years like he did with Abraham. But he will come through. Somebody was saying to me, you know, we pray for healing. But for some people, healing will only happen in the afterlife. Where there will be no more tears. Where there will be no more suffering. But when they walk into the life, the Father says, well done, you fought a good fight. Say, Father, what type of fight? You carried that thing. You did not forsake the faith. You carried that pain. You did not forsake the faith. And for that reason, walk into the glory of your Father. You don't know the journey that God has destined for us. What happens when we go through a tough time? I'm going to finish now. I want you to start preparing your heart for prayer. Because some people need to confess the goodness of God over their lives. And I've been asking myself, how come our prayers are not as powerful as prayers of old? How come our prayers are not as strong as Smith Wigglesworth's prayers? How come our prayers are not as strong as C.S. Lewis? How come our prayers are not as strong as Spurgeon? How come our prayers are not as strong as Paul's prayers? Where Paul would preach right through the night and the guy falls 3 stories down, he dies. Paul falls on him and prays for the guy and the guy comes back to life. How come we don't see the supernatural in our lives? And somebody was preaching at his church, so he writes and says, today I'll be preaching on how to unlock the supernatural. And the guy responds in the comment and says, I would want to hear that message because I don't see the supernatural. How come? I don't have a clear answer. But there are certain pointers that we can work with, and we're going to go there today. What is the point number 4? To live in God's best for your life, continuously engage in genuine repentance. For you and I to experience God's best, this thing called repentance is not a fairy tale. It's a real issue that hits at the heart of every child of God. Because we've got to answer the reason, the question why so many prayers are going unanswered. You and I have got to get to this point and understand why the power of God is absent in His church. And I'm saying to you this morning, the answer is not the lack of power from God or His willingness, but rather the answer lies within you and I. The answer lies within you and I. It's a lack of genuine repentance. I want you to think about it. How many times the Holy Spirit has nudged you to repent, but we make certain resolutions. I will not change unless. And I've come to believe there are certain things that happen in our lives because there's obstinance. We are obstinate in our hearts. Isaiah 59 verse 1. Behold, Jehovah's hand is not shortened. Can I ask, Claire, if you can come to the kids? Behold, Jehovah's hand is not shortened so that He cannot save. Hear me good. Or rather, hear the scriptures good. Nor is His ear heavy so that it cannot hear. I mean, the point is not the heaviness of the hand of God. The point is not the deafness of God's ear. But my iniquities have come between me and my God. And my sins have hidden His face from me. You see, when we talk about these issues, we run to big issues. We run to murder. We run to covert sin, sexual immorality. Like, but I'm not involved in all of that. I mean, I one man, one wife. That's me. I don't look at ladies with a lustful eye. I don't do that. The church has not physically murdered. You are not accused of physical murder. No. I'm not accused of sexual immorality. No, that's not what heaven has an issue with me. But heaven has this issue with me. That I have forsaken my first love. Heaven is saying to me, my boy, you used to be passionate about this. You're not there anymore. You have forsaken your first love. In the book of the Revelation, one of the letters to one of the seven churches, the Lord Jesus says, think about how far you have fallen from. So God is saying, I'm not accusing you of murder. Your first love, something as basic as that. The church has become more worldly than the world itself. The stuff even the world gasps over, the church says, grace. Grace covers it all, my brother. Yeah, man. Cannot be. If the power of God is to hit this church, you and I got to say, Lord, into mercy. If I am to experience the glory of God in my business, I've got to do business better than the world does it. The church has lost its honor for God and His servants. Yes, for God and His servants. Something as basic as that. You can say, I honor God. But you honor God through the people He has put in place over your life. And you keep on saying, I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray. I'm going to fast. But you are not honoring what God has put in place. Look, I'm not power hungry. I'm hungry for your breakthrough. I'm hungry for your healing, for your deliverance. I'm hungry for you to make progress. And therefore, let's ask ourselves, Lord, what do you want me to change? It can't be that you change because you want to change. You change because God wants you to change. He wants to take you into a place where it's only Him that has a right to your heart. The church is more concerned about formalities than real engagement with heaven. The Bible says, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and depart from their iniquities and call upon me, I will hear from heaven above, I will come down and heal their land. What is the trigger? Depart from their iniquity, and I will hear from heaven above. I'm not saint. I am a sinner on a journey that needs God's grace. And therefore, as I'm teaching, I'm not just pointing at you. I'm saying, God, have mercy on me. Because these things are coming out of my mouth and I'll be judged with a stiffer measure. Let's stand on our feet. We're going to start there today. You and I are going to start there today and say, Lord, into me see. Into me see, oh God, I need a new heart. Circumcise my heart. Let every fleshly tendency be removed, oh God. Because it is in God to save and to deliver. But it is for me to be in a place where He can reach me. Isaiah 59 says, these things have blocked you from God. And therefore, each one of us are quite aware of what we need to deal with. And I'm going to ask you today, by the mercies of God, to make a stand and say, Lord, I want to be a child again. The Lord Jesus said, unless you receive the kingdom like a child, you will not experience it. He was not only talking about just being simple. He was talking about being able to say, Papa, I am sorry. I let go of this. So let's start there today. Before we go into making our petitions known unto the Lord, I want you to speak to the